Chapter 25. Sofia, Bulgaria. Shortly after dawn, exhausted but triumphant, they were back on the peninsula and on their way to the hotel in Vlora. Having already expressed to Selma concern over shipping the Thurang disc back to San Diego via standard means, Sam and Remy found their chief researcher had, predictably, made alternative arrangements. Rube Haywood, their old CIA friend, had given her the name and address of a reliable and discreet courier service in Sofia. Whether the service was somehow affiliated with his employer, Rube declined to say, but the sign over the building's door, which read, "Sofia Academic Archivist Services Limited," told Sam all he needed to know. "It'll be there no later than noon tomorrow local time," Sam told Remy. "You have directions for me?" Remy smiled and held up her iPad. "Plugged in and ready to go." Sam put the Fiat into gear and pulled out. When they got to within a half mile of their destination, Remy's iPad became unnecessary. Signs in both Cyrillic and English led them down Vasilevsky Street, then past the Parliament Building and the Academy of Sciences, then into the plaza encircling Sofia's religious heart, the Alexander Nevsky Cathedral. The cross-domed basilica dominated the square, its gold-plated central dome rising 150 feet above the street, and its bell tower 25 feet above that. Reading from her downloaded tourist guide, Remy said, 12 bells at a total weight of 24 tons, ranging in weight from 20 pounds to 24,000 pounds. "Impressive," Sam replied, following the flow of vehicles around the cathedral. "And deafening, I would imagine." They circled the tree-lined square twice before Sam pulled onto a side street and found a parking spot. Their stop at Alexander Nevsky Cathedral would merely be a launching pad, they both knew. While both Selma and Karna agreed that Bishop Arnosh Deniv had died in Sofia in 1442, neither had been able to find any details about his final resting place. They hoped the head librarian at Alexander Nevsky would be able to point them in the right direction. They got out and walked into the square, following the stream of locals and tourists to the cathedral's west side, where they mounted the steps headed toward the massive wooden doors. As they approached, a blonde woman with a bobbed haircut smiled at them and said something in Bulgarian, a question based on the inflection. They caught the word English, assumed the gist of the query, and repeated, "English."
"Welcome to Alexander Nevsky Cathedral. How may I help you?" she said.
"We would like to speak with the head of your library," replied Remy.
"Library?" the woman repeated. "Oh, you mean archivist?"
"Yes."
"I am sorry. There is no archivist here."
Sam and Remy exchanged puzzled glances. Remy got out her iPad and showed the woman the PDF file Selma had sent them, a brief on Bulgaria's Eastern Orthodox Church. Remy pointed out the passage, and the woman read it, her lips moving silently.
"Ah," she said sagely, "this is old information, you see. That person now works in the palace of the synod."
The woman pointed to the southeast, at a building surrounded by a copse of trees.
"It is there. You go there, and they will help."
"And what is the synod?" asked Sam. The woman slipped into tour guide speak.
"The synod is home to a group of metropolitans, or bishops, who in turn elect patriarchs and similarly important officials of the Bulgarian Orthodox Church. The tradition of the synod goes back to the days of the apostles in Jerusalem."
With that, the woman smiled and tilted her head as if to ask, "Is there anything else?" Sam and Remy thanked the woman, turned around, and walked to the palace. Once inside and standing before the lobby information desk, they explained the reason for their visit, research for a book on the history of the Eastern Orthodox Church, and they were told to be seated. After an hour, a black-robed priest with a long salt-and-pepper beard appeared and escorted them to his office, where it quickly became clear he spoke little English, and Sam and Remy even less Bulgarian. An interpreter was summoned. They repeated their story, then produced the publisher's letter of introduction Wendy had created for them using Photoshop. The priest listened intently as the interpreter read the letter, and he sat back and stroked his beard for a full minute before answering.
"I am afraid we cannot help you," the interpreter said for him. "The records you seek are not kept at the palace. The person you spoke with at the cathedral was mistaken."
"Does he know where we might look next?" Sam said. The interpreter put the question to the priest, who pursed his lips, stroked his beard a bit more, then picked up the phone and spoke to someone on the other end. After some back and forth, he hung up. The translator told Sam and Remy,
"Personnel records for that period are housed in the Sveta Sofia. I'm sorry, the Hagia Sophia Church."
"And where would we find that?" asked Remy.
"Directly east of here," the translator replied. 100 meters, on the other side of the square."
Sam and Remy were there 10 minutes later, where they again waited, this time for a mere 40 minutes, before being ushered into yet another priest's office. This one spoke English very well, so they had their answer in short order. Not only was the guide at Alexander Nevsky Cathedral mistaken, but the priest of the Palace of Synod was as well.
"Records prior to the first Bulgarian exarch, Antim I, who reigned until the outbreak of the Russo-Turkish War in 1787, are maintained in the Methodius."
Sam and Remy looked at each other, took a breath, and asked, "What exactly is the Methodius?"
"Why, it's the National Library of Bulgaria."
"And where would we find it?"
"Just east of here, opposite the National Gallery of Foreign Art."
2 hours after leaving their car, Sam and Remy found themselves back standing beside it and standing across the street from the Bulgarian National Library. Without realizing it, they'd parked 10 paces from their ultimate destination. Or so they thought. This time, after a mere 20 minutes with a librarian, they learned that the Methodius had no record of a metropolitan named Arnošt Deniv dying in the early 15th century. After apologizing, the librarian left them sitting alone at a reading table.
"Our shell game with the coffins on Sajan is starting to feel like a cakewalk," Sam said.
"This can't be the end," Remy said. "We know Arnošt Deniv existed. How can there be no record of him?" From the table beside theirs, a smooth basso voice said,
"The answer, my dear, is there are several Arnošt Denivs in the history of the Bulgarian Orthodox Church, and most of them lived prior to the Russo-Turkish War."
Sam and Remy turned and found themselves looking at a silver-haired man with twinkling green eyes. He gave them an easy, open smile and said, "Apologies for eavesdropping."
"Not at all," Remy replied.
The man said, "The trouble with the library is they're in the middle of digitizing their records. They haven't fully cross-referenced the catalog. Consequently, if your request is not painstakingly specific, you miss the mark."
"We're open to any and all advice," Sam said.
The man gestured for them to move to his table. Once they were seated and he had restacked the books piled around him, he said, "As it happens, I'm working on a little history myself."
"Of the Eastern Orthodox Church?" asked Remy.
The man smiled knowingly.
"Among other things. My interests are eclectic, I suppose you could say."
"Interesting that our paths would cross here," Sam said, studying the man's face.
"Truth is stranger than fiction, I believe. This morning, while I was researching the Ottoman rule of Bulgaria, I came across the name Arnošt Deniv. A metropolitan from the 15th century."
Remy replied, "But the librarian said there was no—"
"She said they had no record of a metropolitan by that name dying during that period. The book in which I found him hasn't been digitized yet. You see, when the Ottoman Empire, which was devoutly Muslim, conquered Bulgaria, thousands of clergy were killed. Often, those who survived were demoted or exiled or both. This was the case with Arnošt Deniv. He was quite influential, and this worried the Ottomans. In 1422, after returning from missionary work in the East, he ascended to the level of metropolitan, but 4 years later he was demoted and exiled. Under pain of death, he was ordered by the Ottomans to restrict his ministrations to the village in which he died 2 years later."
"And let me guess," Sam said. The Ottomans did their best to destroy much of the EOC's history during that period.
Correct, the man said. As far as many of the history texts of that time are concerned, Arnosh Deniv was never more than a lowly priest in a tiny hamlet.
Then you can tell us where he's buried? Asked Remy.
Not only can I tell you that, but I can show you where all his worldly possessions are on public display.